Are there enough handouts for everyone? Does anyone need a handout? We got some back there if you do. Decided to put one together for tonight. So as we do this little study called Prayer Dependent, if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Decided to go back and look at this because this passage is... it's been helpful to me. Do you ever feel like your prayers, you don't know if they really matter? Why pray? I don't know if it really makes any difference. And I don't know about you, but I have felt that way. And I can feel that way. And I need the Bible to remind me of the importance of prayer and that it does matter. And God used 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11 to do that for me again. And if I were, you know, when you're preaching through a passage, it's really hard to cover everything that you could cover when you're going through a passage. So I decided to go back and look at this because it just kind of keeps coming back up in my mind. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to share with you supporting scriptures to go along with verse 11 that if I had all kinds of time on Sunday mornings, I would have gone through these passages with you on Sunday morning. But you'll notice there in verse, and let me just read 9 and through 11, then I'll pray. 2 Corinthians 1, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I pray, Lord, as I often do, that the passage before us tonight would be so used as to grow us in our faith and in our Christian life, Lord, to live rightly before you and in this world in which we live in. Thank you for the church, and I'm grateful for everybody here tonight. Lord, I do thank you for our students, for our young people. Thank you for the college students that are home. Lord, I pray for all of our kids here at New Life. Lord, that as they grow into adulthood and establish their own homes, God, please let them walk in the truth. Please cause them to walk in the truth. It won't be because of us parents, but it's because of your grace. And God, I thank you for how we are able to see that in so many of our students, in so many of our young people. So I praise your name. And I pray now that, Lord, you'd help me to deliver your word, may it be clear to us, and then inspire us to live rightly before you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so the topic here is sort of deliverance. Paul needed deliverance. He had faced a great deal of trouble in Asia, according to verse 8. He said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he fought with the beast in Ephesus. So that would have been in Asia. We don't know exactly what he was talking about when he talks about this trouble, but he was confident in God who delivered. And in verse 10, it's a past, present, and future deliverance is the way the New King James lays it out. If you look again at verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, who and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So it's almost like salvation, past, present, future. We have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. Well, here it's this idea of deliverance and probably ultimate deliverance as we have an eternal home with God in heaven, or he would have that. But look at verse 11. As he's talking about this deliverance, in verse 11, he doesn't leave out the church. He doesn't leave out the Corinthians. No, notice what it says, verse 11. You also helping together in prayer for us. All right, so who's he ultimately dependent on? He's dependent on God to deliver. But he says to the church, church, you are helping together in prayer for us. So our deliverance is not outside of or excluding the prayers of the church for that deliverance. So God not only ordains the ends, which is deliverance, but he is ordaining the means by which that deliverance happens. Okay? So, he encouraged them, verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. Why? Ultimately, I shared with you that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. How did we receive that gift of deliverance? It was through many. It was ultimately God, but it was through many people who had a part in praying for it. Okay? So for the Corinthians, their prayers mattered. All right? Now let's look at a few passages. These are passages that you can cross-reference to this. And these are the ones that I have found over the years reading the New Testament where you begin to notice something and then you notice it again. And then you're like, I wonder how many times this is in the Bible. So you start trying to be intentional about noticing it. All right, listen. When you're reading your Bible, key in. You don't want to check your brain at the cover. You want to try to, and I've done that many times, but we want to try to engage with Scripture. And as we see things, you might want to note it. Make lists in the back of your Bible. This next year, as you read the Bible, you might want to start a list in your Bible to do that. Like, I've got a couple of lists right now. I've got a list, two or three of them. One is the earth field, where the Bible talks about the earth being filled with the glory of God or the knowledge of God. I'm writing down those. Israel being brought back from to the land. Israel being brought back to the land. I'm making references on that. God as the creator, the maker of all things. That's another place where I'm writing down references. All right. So just things like that. And then as you read across it, you flip back real quick and note it and then just keep on reading. Before you know it, you've got some pretty substantial list. But the passages that I'm reading, that I'm going over with you tonight are just passages that I've run across over the years that are kind of stuck in my mind now. So let's look at them. First one, we're going to go back a book or two, Romans chapter 15. Do y'all understand what we're doing tonight? I'm showing you passages of Scripture where the Bible shows the importance of our praying. And that the apostle, the writer, the authors were, in their mind, dependent on the prayers of the people. That's why I entitled this Prayer Dependent, or I could have entitled it Prayer Matters, or could have entitled it Helping Together in Prayer. All right? So lots of different titles. And I hope some of them stick in your mind. We are prayer dependent, prayer does matter, and we are helping together in prayer when we pray. Are y'all hearing me tonight? This is important. Prayer matters. When we pray, we are helping together in that for a cause. So Romans 15, verses 30 through 32, just see if you can notice some of the common themes, common reasons for praying. So here it says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Why? Verse 31. That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Okay? So, I think that's fairly clear. He wants them to join in prayer, to strive together with him in prayers for himself. It's almost like, well, that's kind of selfish, isn't it? No, what it's pointing out to us is that he viewed the church's prayers as necessary for him to be delivered from those in Judea, for his service to Jerusalem to be acceptable to the saints, and that he might come to them with joy by the will of God. That's how he thought of that. Okay? Y'all see that? You see the that's in there? That's an important word in the New Testament. That I may be delivered, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable, that I may come to you by the will of God. Those were his three prayer points. Pray for me that these things might happen. All right, let's go to the next one, Philippians chapter 1. Yeah, they're up on the screen or they're on your handout. We'll go through these and I'm going to give you three words to try to remember about prayer. Prayer. Philippians chapter 1. Now, really want to read and focus on verses 19 and 20, but to kind of get the a flavor for what this passage is, let's start at verse 12. And we'll see here that Paul is in prison when he writes this. All right, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. If you found it this evening, would you say amen? All right, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now, verse 19. Notice, he's in prison, okay, but the gospel's still going forth. Verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your what? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's locked up, preaching the gospel. Gospel's continuing to go forward. But he says, I know this is all going to turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. According, verse 20, to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Okay? So, verse 19 is the focal passage there, and 20, that he believes that even though he is locked up in prison currently, that it's all going to turn out for his deliverance, and that deliverance is going to come through the prayers of the church in Philippi for him. All right? So, let's go to the next one, 2 Thessalonians. I got a little asterisk by this one because it's a little bit different, but I want to go ahead on our journey through here and point it out to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, after this, I'm going to ask you all if you've seen any common theme thus far in all three of these about asking the church for prayer. All right, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Great prayer right there. Pray that. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So he's asking for prayer. Brethren, pray for us. And he prayed concerning the word of God going forth swiftly and being glorified. And he asked them to pray that they would be delivered. Now, in the passages that we've looked at, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, have you seen a common request? Deliverance. Exactly. Every one of these so far, and we can really get a taste of that in every passage we're going to look at, that every one of them is a request for deliverance. In some cases, the deliverance is from prison to be brought to them. In others, it's deliverance from evil and wicked men who do not have faith, who do not believe in the Lord. But it is deliverance in some regard because they realize they can't deliver themselves, that God is the one who delivers past, present, and future. Therefore, we call out to Him. Many do, and many are able to give thanks to God for that gift that's given. All right, so deliverance. Now, let's go to Philemon. Philemon. And this is going to be verses 19 through 22. I'll read for you. I guess I'll start at verse 17. Philemon, and that's a small book in the New Testament. Not the smallest. Smallest of Paul's letters. So it's right at the end. They go in order of really length. Romans to Philemon, and so Philemon is the last. If you find Hebrews and go back maybe a page, you may not even have to do that. There you'll find the book of Philemon. I won't get into the context too much of what this letter is about. Onesimus, a runaway slave. Philemon, a Christian, slave owner. Onesimus becomes a Christian under the after Paul witnesses to him. In verse 17, it says, as Paul writes to Philemon, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. The him there is Onesimus. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Verse 19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you, that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Okay, so you might sense a little bit of pressure being put on Philemon here from the Apostle Paul in this passage, but look at verse 22. He says, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. So he says, Philemon, I'm coming. If you would get the guest room ready, because I know that you're praying that I'll be able to come and see you and that I'm going to be granted to you because of your prayers. So Paul didn't view the prayers of this man Philemon or the church as something not necessary. He viewed it as something very necessary, and that his plans and the fulfillment of them was even dependent upon the prayers of the church. His deliverance, his being granted to someone, was dependent upon that. Are y'all seeing that in the passage? Y'all feel like it's a fair interpretation of the passage? It's pretty straightforward. Okay, let's look at the last one then. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and we'll look at verses 18 and 19. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, as he comes to the end of this letter. Pray for us. Talk to God for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, I want to go ahead and read both of them. Now, go back to verse 18. So he asked for them to pray for him, to pray for them. Why? Because whatever situation he was in, he was certain that it wasn't because of wrongdoing on his part. Okay? Because he says there, we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. The way their conduct and their conscience were not in conflict. I just came up with that right here on the fly. That was pretty good. Their conscience and their conduct were not in conflict with one another. That's the way we want to live. That's the way Paul said that he was living in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's the way that he said he wanted to live, Acts chapter 24, in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, because he will judge the living and the dead at his coming. Therefore, he seeks always to have a good conscience before God and man. The only way our conscience can be good is if our conduct is aligned to the truth of God's Word. Is if our conduct is not in conflict with our conscience. So he could freely say, pray for us because of that very reason. And then in verse 19, but I especially urge you to do this. To do what? To pray for us. That I may be restored to you the sooner. Brothers and sisters, in none of these cases did they say, God's sovereign. If I'm able to go, I'll go. If I'm not, I won't. But they said, no, pray. Because the way in which I'm going to be able to go and do this, the way I'm going to be delivered, the way that I will be set free is through prayer to God, who is ultimately able to do that. Okay, so let me give you three words. Hopefully you can take these home with you. And maybe they'll stick in your mind. I hope they stick in my mind. All right, let's go to the first one. Vulnerability. Vulnerability. You see, every one of these instances where the writer is writing to the church, he had to be vulnerable. Because he could. There was no I got this attitude. Okay? He was not trusting in the arm of flesh, but his trust was in the living God, and he wanted the people that he was writing to express that same trust in him by praying to him, the one who is able to change things. So for us to... And I'm not good at this, okay? I'm not saying. I'm learning from this passage. I'm learning from this. Really, it takes among the church, among ourselves, vulnerability in asking for prayer for deliverance. If you think about your own walk right now, your life, and there may be something you're like, man, I'd love to be delivered from this. This is something that's been so difficult for so long. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of it. Okay? It takes vulnerability, and it takes expressing that need to others so that they can pray for you. And you know what happens? When the deliverance comes, thanks comes not just from you because you saw it, but it comes from all those who also knew the need and lifted their prayers to God, and then God answered it. So all those people then are able to say, praise God. Thank you, God, for what you have done in bringing this deliverance. You know, it could be a need, a struggle, whatever it might be. But God wants us to be vulnerable with one another. The second word that I would give to you is viability. Now, to be viable means that it's, and I just looked it up so I could give you a definition, but capable of working successfully. I'll give you an illustration. A viable way to get gasoline in your car is to go to Circle K and pull up to a pump. That's a viable way to get gas in your car. Then you got to pump it. That's a good plan. So viability. Our praying requires, and our needs require vulnerability. But as we pray, we realize that in our praying, that is a viable way for success. That is a viable way for God to bring about deliverance, to bring about healing, to bring about joy, to bring about life in an individual. All right, so viability. In other words, our praying does matter. It is the way in which God has ordained that He will bring about an end, because He's determined the means as well. Okay, so vulnerability, viability, and then the last one is victory. Victory, what do you mean by that? Deliverance. Being granted to. Being refreshed. Being restored. Giving thanks to God, the one who did it. That's victory. And in Christ, we're able to experience that. And we're able to join together in prayer and ultimately together give praise to God. Does that make sense? Good. Well, that's all I've got for you. All right. So a quick little study tonight on prayer. I hope these passages stick in your mind. You might want to write them down in the back of your Bible so that you have them accessible to you later. And all of these, you know, I don't want to go by without saying that all of these words that are written here, all the prayers that have been prayed throughout the church age, all that happened because of what Jesus Christ did to redeem His people. We remember this morning from 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are what in Jesus? Yes and amen. We could not have any effectiveness in prayer were it not for Christ, who brings us to God, who died in our place on that cross, was buried and rose again on the third day. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what makes all of this possible. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what saves the lost sinner. So tonight, in conclusion, I want to remind you that the way to God is through Jesus. If our prayers be heard, it will be because of Jesus Christ. If we are forgiven of our sins and are children of God, it is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And the invitation of the gospel is for the lost sinner to come and to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and through Him have eternal life. The invitation is always open. I exhort you, if you've not believed in the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray again that You would bless it to our hearts and strengthen us in our praying. God, truly let us not be like the man who beholds his image in a mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. But God, may we all be shaped a little bit more by the truth from Your word, by the examples that we find here. And God, be more fervent in our prayers because of them. Thank You for the gospel. Lord, let us be good ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ, good stewards of that message. And I pray that this week, as we go forth in our days, each day, Lord God, that we would be obedient to you in opening our mouths and speaking forth your word in this generation in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen.